Let's get into the word. If you have your Bible, you can go with me to Amos 9, verse 13. Amos 9, verse 13. This is part two of my Avalanche series. So I shared some of it at our life group. Also want to talk about life group. We will still be maintaining our life group in Avon. How many are part of the life group in Avon? If that's you, raise your hand. Awesome. We love our life group. We love getting together. But we'll still maintain that. That takes place on the second and the fourth Sunday of every month, and that's at 5 o'clock at Pastor Sue and Pastor Paul. That's hard for me to Pastor Paul Jordan, you know, like Sensei Jordan. I think I'm gonna have to call him Pastor Sensei something or other. But it takes place. There he is, right there. But it takes place there at their gym, and we invite you to come out and join us for that. Also, it's an in-depth Bible study, open forum where we ask questions and we just get into the Word. So. Amos 9, verse 13, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it." Another translation says this, "The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine." Amos, right around 750 BC, makes this prophetic utterance. And I'm here to tell you today that this prophetic utterance has not been fulfilled fully yet. That what he spoke here speaks so vividly of a time that will come on the face of the earth that I believe we can trigger. We can create this momentum in the kingdom where there's such a release and such a fulfillment of God's promises. So you see, Amos spoke of a time before Christ. Christ arrives and he makes good on what Amos spoke. He says, yes, it's going to happen. There will come a day in the earth when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. There's coming a day when the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, will be overtaken. With your mind, try to comprehend what the prophet here is saying. Well before, thousands of years before today, he makes this statement. And he's really speaking of a time where the presence of God will saturate the earth in such a powerful way that the moment a word or a promise of Christ is spoken, it'll be fulfilled. That's what he's saying. He's saying that those who plow the earth will be overtaken by those who are reaping the seed sown. So the word is, the seed is always the word, right? The seed, the sower sows the weed, sows the word. And so he says that the moment the word is sown, then it shall be reaped. And the plowman, it speaks of a generation of those who have plowed the word, who have tilled up the tough ground. No doubt I look around today and I see a lot of faces who have been plowing the earth for the Lord for many years. You know, Clarence, it's for as long as I've been around, you've been plowing. Amen. I look in the back and I see Luther, and he's been such a faithful man that he's been plowing the seed of the word for generations and generations. I look at Chuck and Norma and I say, for years, you've been plowing. It started in Avon. I look at it, Sharon and Gary, and I see those who have been plowing the word, who have been breaking up the fallow ground, who have been working hard for the kingdom. And God says, there's coming a day. The prophet here spoke of this time. He said, there's coming a day where the fulfillment of what you're expecting will begin to fold over on itself so rapidly that you won't be able to you won't be able to keep up with it. It's going to happen so fast. And really, when I think about what he's saying, my mind draws a picture of an avalanche. An avalanche is interesting because an avalanche is caused by a sudden disturbance. A sudden disturbance can create such a, it can trigger such a moment in time where suddenly everything begins to fall. And the stuff in front of it, the stuff on the bottom of it, suddenly begins to get overtaken. And then it begins to rush down the mountain in such a powerful way that everything underneath it, everything in the valley, gets overtaken by the avalanche. There's coming a time when the fulfillment of God's promises will be so overwhelming that you will not be able to sow fast enough. Meaning that you and I, people of faith, we will not be able to get the words out of our mouth fast enough over our children. We won't be able to get the words out of our mouth fast enough according to God's word about our communities, about our economy, about our political system. It's interesting, you know, this is a time of year where we all go to the ballot box seeking economic reform through political means. We do. We think if we can just elect a better politician, then we can change the economy. Jesus says, really, the way to create economic reform is not through political means. It's through religious means. The way to create economic reform is through sowing the word of God. It's through declaring the promises that Christ died for in every area of our life. It's by declaring God's promises are true, the enemy's plan is a lie, and the prophet here is declaring it's going to take place. There's a way to create an avalanche. There's a season of instantaneous release that's coming. You say, that's hyper faith. I'm just reading to you what the prophet declared, and I'm just telling you that this prophetic utterance has not been fulfilled yet. This has not happened yet, but you can sense it in the spirit that it's very, very close. That there's about to be such a revival, and that's a word that gets overused in the church. But there's about to be such a revival. What's a revival? It's a reviving of men's and women's hearts. And when generations are suddenly awakened to God, awakened to the purpose and the destiny of God, where regions suddenly come to life because of the promises of God that are spoken over them. And I declare to you that we are very, very close to that. And there is a way where we can trigger that to take place faster. It's possible. It's possible. An avalanche of God's promises being fulfilled is what we're sitting on the precipice of. And I want to be a part of an avalanche. I want to be a part of it. People say, what are you trying to do in Avon? And I declare to them, I'm trying to start an avalanche. I'm trying to trigger a release of promises in families, in children, in teenagers, in the elderly. I'm trying to trigger the hope of Christ in a heart that makes them say, I believe in God. I believe that the promises of God are for me. I believe they're for my children. I believe there's more to this life than sucking air and paying bills and dying. I believe there's something that's worth living for, and there's something that's worth dying for. I believe that. I'm looking to trigger an avalanche. And they've called it revival. I said, no, it's an avalanche. I'm looking to create an avalanche of God's love that when it starts, you can't stop it. That no politician can stop it. No government can stop it. No power or principality of hell can prevent what God's trying to do in our schools, in our governments, in our police systems. That's what we need. We need an avalanche. And it starts with us. It starts personally with us. You know, one snowflake can create a sudden disturbance so strong that it sets in motion a force so powerful that it overtakes everything in its path. One snowflake. One snowflake does this. Have you ever seen the videos? Have you ever watched them where suddenly you're looking at the mountain that's full of snow, and then suddenly, all of a sudden, by nothing you can see or witness from the valley, but suddenly the snow that has accumulated for generations and generations and generations, there's been an accumulation of God's promises. There's been an accumulation of the spoken word of God over your life. There's been promises spoken for generations, and suddenly it stacks up and it stacks up and it stacks up, and then one person says, I believe in the promises of God. And it touches the snow, and suddenly there begins to create such an avalanche of God's love that it flows down and it overtakes everything. And maybe you were sitting just underneath it, and it sweeps you up too. It sweeps you up. It sweeps everybody up in its path. But it's so powerful, it takes everything. And then suddenly, the previous layer is shaken loose. Shaken loose. And that's what needs to take place. We need to shake loose the promises of God. That's joining the force as it cascades over seemingly immovable objects. There are things that we say can't be overtaken. There are things we look at in today's culture and we say, there's no way. There's no way. You're goofy. There's no way Jesus or religion can do that. But an avalanche does it. It takes trees and boulders and everything that's on the side of the mountain, and it wipes it out. It carries the force. It's so powerful a force. The God's love is such a powerful force that it can take a skeptical heart and an over intelligent mind, and it can sweep it up in its grasp. It can just sweep it into God's kingdom, into God's heart, into God's love, into God's hope. Trees and boulders become swept up in the movement of one gentle touch, of one single disturbance. And what God needs more than anything is a group of people full of faith who say, I will disturb. I will become a disturbance to the mundane, to the religious routine. I'm going to become a disturbance, not an obnoxious voice, but a gentle touch. That's what a snowflake, it gently touches. But it's just a gentle touch, suddenly triggers a force so powerful, takes over everything. Deep beneath the surface, there's this potential energy. You think about this. Deep inside of you, there is this potential energy. The Bible calls it Christ in you, the hope of glory. That there's inside of you, in the layers of you, in the layers of time, there is this potential. You think about the snow that rests on that mountain. It's been stacked there, but it speaks of the potential of God's promises. It's just laid up. It's just laid up. But it doesn't look like it's doing anything. It's just sitting still. But the potential of what lays there, the potential of God's word spoken over a child. We dedicated a child today in Lorraine. And that's just a word spoken that stacks up. And as we pray through time, suddenly the spoken word over Noah, over Liam, over Aiden suddenly begins to stack up. And then one day, you know what will happen? One day there'll be a trigger. One day there'll be a release of all of the potential spoken over their life. And then suddenly in one day it will be released, and it will be so powerful, so forceful that it'll overtake everything. It's just waiting. There's this potential energy to overtake the valleys. This is why revival is so frustrating. This is why it's so, you know, you want it. You want to see God's outpouring. You want to see the hope of Christ be revealed to Jen. But it's frustrating because you see it, right? David, you see it over your kids. You see the potential in there. And you're like, when will it break free? When will the potential suddenly be released? When will the promises of God come to fruition? When will I see the movement on the side of the mountain and it begin to overtake their generations for Christ? I see it. I know it's there. But it becomes so frustrating. It's like, I feel like I'm snowing harder than I'm seeing a release, right? But they just got back from a retreat. Dom and Em just got back from a retreat. Pastors Dom and Emily just got back from a retreat. And then you know what they saw? They saw a release. I heard them. They said, no, God did something. There was something that took place. It wasn't like normal. It was something. Suddenly, the potential that was inside of them was released. The promises of God suddenly began to cascade down. And their generations are feeling it. The school system's about to feel it. Their homes are about to feel what God did. It's about to overtake things. An avalanche. We can create an avalanche in our lives, our families, and our communities. Revival happens one snowflake at a time. Revival happens one snowflake at a time. The next time you become discouraged by life and you say, I don't see anything happening in my life. I don't see, I'm putting in more than I'm getting. Just remember, it just takes place one snowflake at a time. One more promise believed in. One more seed sown. One more act of kindness. One more spoken word of hope. And then suddenly revival will break free in your life. An avalanche suddenly can take place in your life. We can become a trigger for avalanche in our lives. We can hasten the season of avalanche in our lives. You sow the word. You sow the word. Declare the promises of Christ in your life. Because that's how avalanches happen. In Amos 9, verse 13, it was all premised upon the seed being sown. The seed being sown was the thing that triggered the overtaking. The plowman, the reaper, all of it premised around a seed being sown. You keep sowing the word over your life, and suddenly one day you'll see an avalanche begin to take place. I've seen it in Elijah's life. I've seen it seed after seed, not giving up, not giving up, not giving hope, but seed after seed after seed. And one day now suddenly there's movement down the mountain. There's movement coming. Now suddenly there's this breaking loose of all of the seed sown, of all of the snowflakes sown. There's this breaking loose that takes place. We have to sow the word. We have to declare the word of God over everything, over our children, over our government, over our finances, over sickness, over every circumstance. We have to declare God's promises. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't get caught up in the circumstance. Don't profess the circumstance. When somebody's sick, don't profess the cancer. Don't profess it. Declare the healing of Christ. Remember that by his stripes, she's been healed. By his stripes, they've been healed. There's a little boy named Cameron. They say he has something, but I just keep declaring. By his stripes, Jesus paid. The promises provided for him in the atonement of Christ is that he be healed. Just keep sowing the word and you'll see an avalanche begin to take place in your personal life. With every word, you increase the capacity to create an avalanche. With every word spoken, with every promises declared, create layers of potential in your life. Never forget the expectation of prophetic fulfillment. The prophet said, there's coming a day. Amos said this. 750 BC, he said this. He said this. 750 BC, he declared, a day's coming. Here we are, and in 2016, we're in 2016, on August 7th, and what he saw, what we're about to embrace. Behold, the days are coming. Never lose expectation of fulfillment of the promises that were paid for by Christ. Never get negative. Never let go of those promises, Hannah. Don't let go of them. They were spoken. They were declared. They're in your heart for a reason. Keep watering those. Keep throwing another snowflake on that mountain of God's promises. Don't let go of the expectation. I want you to know today that your day is coming. Behold, the days are coming, the prophet declared. Behold. That's like an he said, behold, like it's about to happen now. That was in 750 BC. Can you imagine how we should be behaving today? Behold, the days are upon us. I mean, it might be tomorrow. It could be in 5 minutes from now. We may not get to the end of the service, but behold, the days are coming. Don't let go of your expectation. Don't let go of what God promised. Your day is coming. It's coming. What are you looking for? Because most times you'll find it. What are you looking for? You know, you buy a certain car and suddenly you drive around and it's everywhere. You drive a certain motorcycle, and it's everywhere. I'm like, man, they're everywhere. I didn't see these before, and now suddenly I see them everywhere. I thought I was unique. I thought I was the only one, but no, really. Because what you look for, you find. Hold these promises in your heart, because what you look for, you'll find. Set your affections on the promises of Christ, not on the lies of the enemy for your life. What was spoken was to be expected. What was spoken was to be expected. What was spoken was to be expected. If Christ died for them, shouldn't you expect them? If Christ gave his life for the fulfillment of the promises over yours, shouldn't you expect them? Isn't it dishonorable not to? What words cause you to daydream? Huh? What vision causes you to daydream? What dreams cause you, your heart to come alive? Hold on to them. Your day is coming. The days, behold, the days are coming. I'll close with this. The potential of one. The potential of one. Realize your potential. Christian, those called by Christ, realize your potential. Stop minimizing the greatness of the glory of God inside of you. Stop minimizing the purpose and the destiny of God on your life. Stop saying it can't be me because of where I come from. Stop declaring to God, I'm too young. Stop telling God, I can't do it because I'm not smart enough. I can't do it because I'm not pretty enough. I can't do it because I'm not. Just let go of those things and remember the potential of the seed inside of you. The scripture says, lest a grain of wheat fall to the earth and dies, it remains alone. Oh, but if it dies, suddenly it produces such a powerful seed. It produces, Christ died. He lives inside of you now. The seed of Christ abides inside of you now. Don't you dare minimize the power and the glory of God that rests inside of you. Realize your potential. You are full of potential. You are just waiting for one more snowflake to rest on your head, and then suddenly you're going to see a release of God's promises come to fruition over your life. But stop release. Stop resisting the release. Really what I wanted to do is, hey, let's start a wave over here, okay? Let's start a wave. This first line right here, just kind of start the wave. One, two. Grandma Jenny, you don't start. You just stay right there. She was ready. She was like, okay, then let's do it. Let's get it. Let's make this happen. But seriously, you guys ready? Let's start a wave. Go ahead, Obi, you start it. No, you got to stand up. That's not... You're minimizing the potential of that wave. I don't think that's going to work. Some of us resisted. Some of us said, I did not come to church to do a wave. We saved that for the Indians. I got it. I said, but the point is this, don't resist. Don't resist the potential to start something powerful, to start a move of God. Stop resisting the potential of God inside of you. James 4, verse 7 says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That word submit means to place yourself under God's arrangement. To place yourself under God's divine arrangement. Letting go can create an avalanche of God in your life. Submitting to God means I'm gonna do the wave. You know, when God speaks, there are times when God speaks and you resist it. There are times when God will say something to you and you'll resist it. But think about how many times you resist creating an avalanche of God's Spirit in the earth. When suddenly, if Obi would have just stood up initially, just did it, just went for it, suddenly all of the rest, you know what you were? You were compelled to do it. You were compelled by the potential that rested in Obi. And that's how the kingdom works in the earth. You can create a wave of God through our community, a wave of God through our families and our community of faith. You have the potential to change this world. You, inside of you, there is this potential to change. You have significant potential to create an avalanche of movement that just pours out God's glory and love and hope to a generation that's hurting, lost, and dying. And I pray that you would embrace it. What's disqualifying you from becoming the avalanche of God? What excuse are you using to disqualify yourself? Whatever you're using, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's from Satan himself to keep you from becoming all that God declared you would become. With me, let's pray. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to just pray for you today. I pray, God, that there would be an awakening of potential in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. That there would be an awakening of the potential to create an avalanche. I pray for a sudden disturbance, the spirit of a sudden disturbance to come upon those that are here today, listening to my voice today. I pray that you would become wholly frustrated with everything that is so dissatisfyingly normal with life. I pray that there would be such an unrest in your spirit, that there would be a release, a trigger of God's avalanche in your heart, that the Spirit of Christ would awaken the avalanche within you. You are made in the image and the likeness of your Father. You've been created new. Never underestimate the power of Christ that lives in you. Sitting there today, you would say, I don't know Christ. I'm not familiar with Christ and the love of God. I've never experienced it. I've never given my heart to Christ. If that's you, I'd like to pray a prayer for you personally. The Bible says if you call upon the Lord, He'll rescue you. He'll save you. That you can become born again. And so right now, the opportunity exists for you to call upon the matchless name of Christ and there be born again. It goes something like this. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came for the sins of all of mankind. I feel the weight of sin on my life, and I want the life that you provide instead of the life I'm in right now. I ask you to come into my heart. I believe that you died for me and me alone. I confess that I will live for you the rest of my days. And when you do that, He comes alive in you. He provides a reason not only to exist in eternity, but also now on the earth to bring heaven to wherever you go. I pray that you would receive Him now. Jesus, we receive you now. We thank you, God, for dying for us so we could live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. What I'd like to do now is ask everyone to please stand with me. If you could just stand. If you gave your heart to the Lord today, we're going to have some altar ministers come, and I don't know where they're going to stand. Maybe up here somewhere. Altar ministers, if I can get some altar ministers to come up here. We're just going to have a moment of prayer for those that need it today. Sometimes you come in and really you just need somebody to pray with you. And so these altar ministers are coming. They're to my left and to my right. And if you gave your heart to the Lord, or perhaps you just need prayer for something, we want to pray for you. If that's you, you can come forward now. We're going to have a moment of worship while they're being prayed for. Then after that, we're going to begin our meet and greet. I don't want you to leave because we've got lots of stuff to give away. So just, if you can, just extend a hand, pray for them. If you need prayer, this is your moment to come out and receive prayer. Okay? God bless you. Come on, look at somebody to your right and left and ask them if they need prayer and invite them to come forward with you.